Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Ayin Aleph. And we're holding at the very top of the Amud at the new Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Lo yisabar, v'lo yisagas, v'lo yisashoybech, bein charevin, bein yishuvin. It's interesting that this Mishnah, although it appears to be a new Mishnah, is really a continuation of the previous Mishnah. What does the previous Mishnah say? If you go back to Samach Ches Amud Beis, that was the previous Mishnah. Hamoicher sasa, the person sold a field. He sells all of those things which are necessary for the field. The avonim shem letzorcha, the konim shebekerem, the tuvah mechuberes, etc., etc. And then the Mishnah said towards the end, three lines before the end, bezman she'om eloi, he, v'chol mashe besoicha. If he didn't just write in the shtar, I'm selling you the sada. I'm selling you the sada, lock, stock, and barrel. Everything is included, including the avonim she'enam litzorcha, etc. However, said the Mishnah, ben kach u ben kach, four exceptions. Lo mochar schitzas akonim if it's beis roiva, not a shemera if it's a suya betit, not a chorva murkim, not a sadna shikma. All of these four are considered to be a dover choshuv, and therefore, it, like a separate entity on its own. So when he sold the Sada, he didn't sell, for instance, the Chorva Morkim and the Sadna Shikma. So when we learned the Mishnah a couple of days ago, we assumed that those are the only four exceptions to the rule. That even though he said, these four are excluded. And guess what? And now our Mishnah says, but don't forget, there are another few things that I left out. B'choira, it would more, you know, who am I to make these statements? But it would make more sense that the two Mishnayos should be together and it should continue on. And not the Chitzis HaKonim, and not the Shemera, and not the Chorva Morkim, and not the Sadna Shikma, and not the Bor, and not the Gas, and not. But for whatever reason, it was split up this way.
So does Tosfos or any other preeminent halakhic authority weigh in on that?
I haven't seen anybody that weighs in on it, but it seems to me that it's just a question of editing. So I'm surprised why they edited the Mishnayos in this particular fashion. But the Mishnah says that the Bor and the Gas and the Shoivach are not included. How do I know that this is a continuation? Because look at the first Rishbam here on the Mishnah. Rishbam is about 10 lines before the wide lines. Masnis and Lo Yisabar, Shebe Sada, in the Sada, that's the Moichers the Sada, Avo Bisha Omoloi Kol Masha Besoicha, even though he said he, the Sada, Kol Masha Besoicha, these are also excluded. Why are they excluded? Because each one has a chashivus bifnei atzmoi. You could have a sada without a bor. So how is the sada going to survive during the winter season? Either it's in a climate where there's Baruch Hashem lots of rain, or he has some sort of irrigation ditch that brings water from the neighboring river or from some subterranean source. You don't have to have a bor. So a sada that has a bor, that's a dover choshev. You can imagine how valuable that bor is to the owner of the sada. Wow, it gives the water, it gives the irrigation, etc. V'loy is a gas. Gas is a wine press. V'loy is a shoivach. You have a dovecot. These three things are not sold. Bein charevin, bein yishuvin. Bein charevin means even if they happen to be at the moment no longer operable. In other words, this bar has been dry for the last 2 years. The gas has not had any wine pressing for the last 2 years. The shoivach hasn't had any doves recently, so they're choriv in a sense. Nevertheless, they are still not sold. What's that? That's, of course, a tremendous chiddush. I would think they're really obsolete. There's been no water here for the last couple of years, etc. Kamashul and the Mishnah, they're still considered to be a dover choshev, and you never know. There might be a tchias amesim where this bar, gas, and shoivach will become functional again. So it's bein charev and bein yishuv. Bein yishuv means that they are in operation and they are functioning.
But
yes, sir. Please.
I mean, when you make this agreement, I'm selling you this parcel of land with everything that's on it, and then you have these exceptions, right? Isn't it kind of misleading? Meaning, like, aren't you supposed
it's
to...
It's not part of this piece of land. Mm-hmm. That's the point of the Mishnah. That when you say this piece of land, this piece and not the boar, the shovach, because they're not part, because they have a separate identity,
But I mean, also when you make the contract, like, including every, but you
just
add
like we had
the,
a person who had several fields. I'm selling you these fields, but not this field. It's a separate
right.
field. This is like a separate field. It's not part of the sale.
But even when he says everything on the land, we
everything
still
everything on the land, but not the things that are not part of the land.
Mm-hmm.
It's not part of the land. It's a separate parcel. It's a separate parcel.
A whole.
The sud is one thing, the bor is one thing, the gas is one thing. Mm-hmm. Each has a separate title.
Exactly. Each one has a separate cheshivas on it. So, the Mishnah said that the chorv and the sadan are not sold, because those are very, very distinguished trees that everybody, look, this beautiful sycamore tree must be at least 250 years old with these beautiful branches and blossoms. Who does it belong to? Don't you know? That's Yankel Stein. Really? Yeah, he's older than his grandfather, his great-grandfather. And then right next to it, there's a puny little tree, which also is 10, 20, 50 years old.
So what if someone's walking on that piece of land and falls into the boar? Who's responsible?
Exactly. Exactly.
First of all...
The owner of the boar.
Well, first of all, he's trespassing. He has no business being on the land. Number one. Number two, a person falling into a boar, normally he is himself to blame. Because the Pasuk says... Then in fact the owner of the bar is off the hook. If a person falls in, because a person should look where he's walking. You know, only people walk across the street when it's red light and they're looking at their iPhone.
Ensconced.
Exactly. They have no idea what's going on. And the problem is that the driver is also looking at his iPhone. So then, you know, maybe they're even talking to each other.
Mm.
But regardless, the point is, back to our Mishnah, that each one is considered to be so choshuv, it is not bottled to the karka. Moreover, this is the famous Rabbi Kiva, that Rabbi Kiva says, V'tzorach likach loy derech. We have this Rabbi Kiva, of course, earlier on in our parak, when a person sold a house, and we said in the Mishnah, that even if in the basement of the house there's a bor vedust, there is a cistern, because this is such a dover choshuv, it is not sold together with the house. You want to make sure that you sell the bor vedust as well? In other words, the lekeach. So what do you mean? I bought the house, I want the bor vedust. Get a lawyer to write it out clearly. I'm buying the house. And the bor vedus, and this, and if you don't do that, it is not sold. So now what happens, Taka, if a person only sells a house, didn't write anything about bor vedus is not included, it belongs to the original mocher, how does the mocher get to that bor vedus
right,
now?
Get access.
That's a machloikis between Rabbi Kiva and Rabban. So we've already discussed this a couple of times in our perek, but Rabbi Kiva holds mocher ba'ayin yofa mocher. A moicher is a person who is such a good-hearted individual, and he's willing to go over and aboard to go and sell as part of the package as much as he can. That being the case, when he sold the house, he sold the right of access to the bor vedus. Even though the bor vedus still remains with the moicher, but when he sold, since he didn't write anything in the document to exclude it, he even sells his right of way, and now when he wants access to the bor vedus, he's going to have to work out some sort of deal with the lokeach, and the lokeach may in fact charge him money for it, because he has no automatic right of way. That's Rabbi Kiva. The Chum say, nah, come on. If he kept the bor vedus, then of course he kept the derech to the bor vedus. And that's what we call moicher ba'ayin ro'o moicher. So our Gemara says, or our Mishnah repeats the same halacha here once again. Even though he retained for himself the bor mitagas, but the shoivach, if he wants to get to them, he's going to have to go and pay an entrance fee. Or maybe the other guy will be nice and generous to him and say, you know, come anytime you want. But the ma'isa means he's going to have to work out terms to be able to use and visit his bor, gas, and shoivach. And then the same thing applies to the previous items in the previous Mishnah, the sadna shikma, the charva morkiv, etc. No, you don't have to, because retaining these items, the bor, gas, and shoivach, not only did you retain the actual bor, gas, and shoivach, but you retain the right of access to get to it. Fine. You remember earlier on in our parable, when I asked, why do we have to repeat the halacha twice? Of course, it's the same halacha. And now the Mishnah continues, Umoyder v'kibah, bizman she'omolei chutz mi'eilu, so this is a klal that we've also had, and that is that anytime you add any legal text to a document which was not necessary, you automatically give him a yipui koyach. Yipui koyach means we give him extra benefits or extra strength in this document. Meaning, since according to Rabbi Akiva, you don't have to say, the same thing applies to the Chum as well, you don't have to say chutz min habor, chutz min hagas, chutz min hashoyvich, because we already said in our Mishnah, automatically, even if you write, I'm giving you the sod b'chol mashin b'soicha, these things are excluded. So why did you have to go and say chutz? You're just wasting paper and ink. If Itaka writes b'feirish, I'm selling you the sod b'chol mashin b'soicha, but not the bor, not the gas, and not the shoivach. By adding these additional words, although he doesn't get any greater benefits vis-a-vis the bar v'gas, but he gets the benefit of the right of way, the right of access to the bar and the gas. Okay, so that's the first part of the Mishnah. Now the second part of the Mishnah reverses it. Mochron li'acher. What means mochron li'acher? Instead of selling the field and retaining the bar, gas, and shoivach, what happens if he sold the bargas and shoivach and he retained the field for himself? You don't have to go, and the person who purchased the bar and the gas, even though it would be a wise thing to write in the document, but they didn't. They only wrote, I'm selling you the bar and gas. Rabbi Akiva, who is, again, this very, very good-hearted individual, says, a moicher ba'ayin yofa moicher. So when he sold him the bar and the gas, he sold him the right of way as well to get to the bar v'gas. Again, the chacham lishitasam. The chacham say, moicher ba'ayin ro moicher. I only sold you the minimum, whatever it says in the document. So the document says, I sold you bar v'gas, fine. But it didn't say anything about a right of way. You didn't negotiate for a right of way. You want a right of way? You got to pay me more money. You paid for the bar already $100. You want to get to the bar, you're going to have to pay me another $10 or whatever it is. Zokimar, the man Devar Moon, all of these discussions that we've had in our Mishnah, as well as from the beginning of the Perek, when we keep on talking about that you sell certain items, then other items are not included because of their chashivas. That's only if you're selling. A person who's giving matana, by definition, he's doing something which is very gracious, shows that he is magnanimous, shows that he is a beneficent individual, benevolent individual. That being the case, you automatically assume that he's giving you bako mikoko, lock, stock, and barrel. And so therefore, says Rishbam, the marshal, all of those things that we said previously in the Mishnah, that loy mochar, we said the avonim she'enim letzoyrech, and things of that nature. Vathulahani, let's look at the Rishbam, second wide line. Av menoysim atonim noysim eskula, kol hani diamrinon, he writes diamrinon, Mr. Menon, the amora, that loy mochar, vathulahani de'enim bechlal mashe besoycha, even those things which, when you write, he, v'chol mashe besoycha, the following are not included, like the Chorev Hamorkev in the Sadna Shikma and the Bar Vegas Veshoivich in our Mishnah. If you're noisin Ma'atana, you give him everything. Even this, not only the Sada, the Chorev Hamorkev, the Sadna Shikma, Gor, etc. We're going to talk about Hegdish in a moment. So says Rishbam, not only Hegdish, but Ma'atana, the same thing applies. The time Mishnah, the noisin Ma'ayin Yofen noisin, Yoisir Midai, meaning, even according to Rabbi Akiva that already holds that a moicher ba'ayin yofa moicher, if you're a noisein, then you're even more than the moicher ba'ayin yofa. But for the mai deloy have bechlal sode, even though he said by the moicher, what did we just finish saying? Person writes in his shtar, he b'cholch mashim b'soicha. Nevertheless, the Chorev Amurkib and the Sadan Hashikma and the Bor and the Gas are not included. Even according to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva also agreed they are not included. The only thing that Rabbi Akiva argues with is whether you have to now be Lekech Derech or not. But that's certainly not included. Nevertheless, in the case of the Noisim Matana, since the Noisim HaTana is really B'ayin Yofen Noisim. He didn't have to give anything. Who asked him to give this? It must be that he's very generous. A person who has generous thoughts and generous feelings and generous actions. After the Maidalei Havim Bechlal Soda is all to thrown in. Hoyul Bekebu Betoy Chasoda. However, Rishbam says, but there's still one limitation. It's got to be kavua. What does that come to exclude? Umiyum yesh ma'ois basod. Oy tvua tzalusha shein etzrich lekarka. Oy kol dovish loy hutzuch letam de masis lehaskir. Oloy maloy mocha. Yishom the milk to the pshito. Ein amachlal sadeh klal. Ahi vade lekona lo mekabel matot. So even though you have a person who is so gracious, and he says, Yankel, I love you so much, I'm going to give you the field. And the field is going to include everything. The Sadan HaShikma, and the Chorev HaMurkim, and the Bor, and the Gas, and everything, Bako Mikol Kol. However, what happens if on the property, on the grounds, there is money? We're not talking about money they didn't know. Money they did know, money they didn't know. Or if you had Tvua Telusha, that you had already cut the Tvua, and it's just a question of waiting till it dries out, and then you're going to collect it. That's not included, because that's a real separate entity having nothing to do with the field. At least the Sadan and the Mu'an and the Chorev and the Bor and Gas, Epsa Shaykhis they have to the field. They're separate entities, but they have a Shaykhis, a connection. Here, when you're talking about Metalklin that don't that are not appropriate for the property, what is cash doing on the floor there? You put cash in a bank, you put under your mattress, you put into your wallet, you don't leave it on the karka. Same thing is the Tvut Lusha. Okay, it's going to be there another day or two to dry out, but it's not essentially part of the karka, says Rishbam. That already is excluded, even in the case of a noisim. Yes, sir.
What if later on the property they find, let's say, oil or gold or some other valuable resource?
One second, Brother Shai. Ariel has a question. And since Ariel was both Baal Shachris and our Bar Musaf, and he also had Shlishi, so we have to give a deference. Yes, Ariel.
So well, because there's certain noise in the background.
Then it's from one of the participants, I believe. I don't think it's from here. Everybody, please put yourselves on mute. Yes, sir.
So what if later, at some point on the property, they find oil or gold or some other valuable resource?
What you're asking is an excellent, excellent question. And in fact, we had this earlier, Legabi, the case of a Moicher Es Habayis, that we said that even if he writes Umka Veruma, what means umka varuma? If you have, we had it back on daf samachay.
Mitohom,
no.
Mitohom ad arakia, right?
Mitohom ad, and then you would even get the barbados. We had back on samach gimel omid beis. The Gemara said over there that a person who sells a house, a barbados is not included, even if he writes in the shtar, "I'm selling you the house, umka." Down below, Veruma, and up above, the Bar Vedus is not included. When would the Bar Vedus be included? If he writes, as you said, Mitahoim Ara V'ad Roim Rekia. Now the question the Gemara asks, so what do I need the Umka Veruma for? How does the Umka Veruma help me if you tell me that I don't have the Bar Vedus? Says the Gemara, the Umka Veruma helps that you should be able to dig underneath the karka in case you're wanting
mineral
rights to get oil. Maybe you heard that the subterranean water source and you want to go and dig out to try to get the water. Tap into it. So then you would write in your shtar, not only I'm selling you the house, but also Umka Veruma. That Umka Veruma would entitle you to go and dig underneath. But if you didn't write Umka Veruma, then the mocha retains the right to come and drill underneath to go and get the oil rights, mineral rights, or whatever they might be.
So he gets permission, so to speak, from the new owner to come and develop.
You know, that's the machlok Rabbi Kiva Chachamim. Does he have to now pay for access?
Right, but absolutely. To get oil, you have to dig in your closet.
Absolutely. So Kvinta Chachamim, he has a right to put up an oil well and start drilling, because he retained that right. Mm-hmm. And according to Rabbi Kiva, he has now paid to set up the
operation.
Oil. Yeah,
exactly. Very good. Anyway, so getting back to our Mishnah. We're now up to Ho'achen Shecholku. That's about 7 or 8 lines into the Mishnah. Ho'achen Shecholku, Zochu Basoda, Zochu Bekula. Achen Shecholku means they had a father, and unfortunately the father passed away, and the two sons are now are dividing up the property. So what happens? Zocha b'sod, if they made a schia in the field, zocha b'kula, then they're zoicha in everything. Now what does that mean, in everything? So Rishbam explains over here, let's look at the Rishbam, 6-7 lines into the Rishbam, zocha b'kula, afilu bor v'gas v'shoivach shebesodekon. Even though we said in our Mishnah, if you go and sell a piece of property, bor, gas, shoivach are not included. However, what happens if now you have a big piece of property, 100 acres by 100 acres, and now they're going to go and split it 50 by 50, 50 by 50, and on the property, there's a bor, a gas, a shoivach, a chorev amurkev, a sadna shikma, all these wonderful things. Now, they got to belong to somebody. The fact that Yankel and Beryl, the two sons, split it the way that they split it. After all, when you're splitting a large property, you can do it horizontally or vertically. And the fact that one part of the property has a bor, the other one has a shoivach, or one has a dus, or one has a gas, one has a sadna shikma, that will all presumably affect the price and the value of that property. And therefore the presumption is when Yankel and Beryl are sharing and now splitting the field, that's part of their cheshbon. In other words, each one brings their own appraisers and their own surveyors, etc., to figure out how much the property is worth. Oh, if you're going to split it vertically in this way and you're going to leave the bor v'gas on his property, that means that the property now is worth 10%, 20% more than leaving on the other side. So presumably they'll make some sort of allocation and valuation, he'll give more cash, and he'll give more property, whatever it happens to be. So therefore, achi shecholku zochu basada, once they make a schia in the sada, then zochu bakula, they receive all of those items that previously we said as part of a mecher are excluded. Here they are included because they got to belong to somebody. We're not selling it to a third party. We're just splitting it up between the two brothers. So wherever the bar and gas and shoivach find themselves, that's who it belongs to. And presumably, one is going to have a bar on his side of the property, the other one's going to have a gas on his property, etc., etc. So they're going to have to negotiate and figure it out. But, lemaisa, it will all be split up. Now we get to the question about derech panimi al hachitzoy. What means derech panimi al hachitzoy? What happens if you have a long, long field, but the only way to get out of the field is if the panimi portion gets through the chitzayim portion to be able to get to the Rishus HaRab. In other words, around the fields, there's a mashal, a Mexican wall, a Berlin wall, Chinese wall, and therefore there's no way for the person who's getting the inner half to leave his inner half except for walking through, traipsing through the exterior, the outside property, unless he rents a helicopter. So what's the case over here? There says the Rishbam, excuse me, I want to take a look at the Rishbam. Zochu b'kula, 6 lines into the white lines. Zochu b'kula, the two brothers. Afilu bar v'gas v'shevich shebesada kana. If he has in his half of the property the gar v'gas v'shevich, he gets it. Shekim shezeh noitel sada achad. The achas can egdoi, since they're splitting it up. You get half, I'm getting half. L'stalik zeh mishol zeh niskavnu. Their kavana is to make an even split, and so now each one goes on their own way. Because if we wanted to continue collaborating and working together, they don't have to split it. The fact that they're splitting it means that they've decided, each one should do his own thing on his part of the property. So if you get a bar v'gas on your property, it's yours. Umi olios le'derech le'pnimi alachitzai. Rishbam doesn't talk about a derech to get to the bar v'gas v'shoivach, because by definition, there's no problem. It's on my property, right? The Yankel who gets the bor gas v'shoivach, he doesn't have to worry about a right of way to his bor gas v'shoivach. It's on his property. However, what about the derech panimi al hachitzon to get out of the property? Ikal meimar the isle kerav. Rishbam says, it's a good svara to say that he does not have to go and buy a right of way to go through the chitzon. Why? Didn't you just tell me that since each one is getting his 50% of the property, so he's getting the bar v'gas, he's getting the other part that there's no bar v'gas. If you, the panimi, want to walk through the chitzayim, why shouldn't you have to go and pay for that right, or at least negotiate the right? We had Rav already about 6-7 blad ago. The Rav said, the omelet, odur b'sodeh shali. There's a swara that the Pnimi guy says to the Chitzen guy, you remember when Tati lived, when father, when Abba was alive. Remember, we all traipsed through the property back and forth all the time, because after all, it was all one property. So even though we're now splitting it up, nevertheless, I still retain the right to be able to traipse through your part of the property, because that's the way. There's no other way of leaving the Pnimi to get to Rishus Rabbim, or to get to the Chotzer, or to get to the Mavui, unless I go through your property. To go and say that we split it, and now I have to pay you to get through, that's already a stretch, if you will. Tachas Abisech Yibanecha, let's continue on, at least to that extent, collaborating as if we were still, as if father was still alive. So that's the case of Achash Chok. Now we have a machzik b'nichsei ha'ger. Hechzik b'soda, hechzik b'kula. Person is machzik b'nichsei ha'ger. And the nichsei ha'ger included a whole bunch of things. Says Rishbam l'mushol, the chorev ha'morkiv and the sadon ha'shikma. Now when you're talking about a moicher and a lokeach, it makes sense to go and say that the moicher retained for himself these choshiva separate entities like a chorev ha'morkiv and sadon ha'shikma. But there's no moicher and lekeach. There's only a ger that Nebuch passed away. So therefore, who's going to retain the sadna shikma and the charev morkev? Nobody. So therefore, the person who's being koned in the nechsi ager, he gets the whole thing. And the chiddush of the Mishnah is hechzik besoda, when he does it nor goder uporatz kolshua, some sort of kinyan chazok in the field, he's automatically koina the other items as well, the bar and the gas and the shaybach and the sadna shikma. He doesn't have to make other special chazokos or kinyonim in them. Hechzibekula, it's all included as one. So Rishbam says, even though elsewhere we refer to the sadna shikma as if it's a separate entity, as separate sodim b'fnei atzmoi, and therefore I would think if the sodim b'fnei atzmoi, you have to go and make a separate kinyon in each one. So you might know that that's not necessary. The reason is because even though legally it's a separate entity, but physically it's all one. The Chorev HaMorkev is planted on the Sada. So as soon as you go make a kinyan in the Sada, you're kind of the Chorev HaMorkev and the Sada Shik. But of course only by Nechsi again, because there's no one else to leave it for. You're being kind of, so you're kind of everything. You do one Chazaka, you're kind of the whole thing. Yes?
But I understand why, just because it's Nechsei Ger, it triggers that it doesn't count, because the other thing, you're just selling a property. I mean, what does it matter? Why?
It's Hefker. Because it's coming from Hefker. If it's Nechsei Ger, it's coming from Hefker. There's no previous ownership to relinquish. There's no previous bow to relinquish ownership. And Nechsei Ger, there's no owner. It's Hefker. So if you had a situation,
I can stop you for 1 second. The ger that we're talking about over here had no family,
no heirs, no heirs.
Any of his earlier family, like parents and brothers and sisters, that
it
doesn't
just
count.
It seems a little disconnected that would trigger it to become part of the meaning. Like
it's all one plot of Hefker.
Whereas in the other scenario, it's like, oh, they're separate entities.
Because they retain the owner, the original owner's strings on them. Mm-hmm. He still has a bylaws over them that he hasn't relinquished.
There's still like a Zika?
There's a link. There's a link there that's not relinquished
right. When
somebody owns it. But if it's Hefker, it's all there.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, if you had a field of Hefker and on it were all these chashuv things, and you're a kona in just the field or one of these things, you simply would be kona. So it's really a rule in Hefker, not a rule in a ger.
Right. We just say nechsei ger because that would be the
typical case.
Right. You normally wouldn't find
everything Hefker.
Would be the havamina.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Next, now we get to the final case in the Mishnah. Hamakdish asa, the person was makdish a field. Hikdish is kula, he was makdish not only the field, he was makdish everything in the field. What does that mean? Says Rishbam, because the Tanakhama holds, the Tanakhama that we just learned, makdish is just like a nosin, just like a nosin matona is ba'ayin yof a nosin. That's why Rishbam said, now everything is included, the Ayin Yofa, even the bar and the gas and the shorivach and the sadna shikma and everything. because he's so gracious, so generous. The fact that you're being makdashit, you're also being generous. Maybe you can call this even a higher degree of generosity, because you're now being not only giving it as a present, but you're giving it as a present to Hegdish. So therefore, everything is included according to the Tanakhama. Reb Shimon, however, as we'll see in the Mishnah, and as we'll see in the Gemara, does not agree with the Tanakhama. Reb Shimon Oimer, HaMakdish is a soda, the person who sells himself, who is a makdish, consecrates his field, lo'hikdish ella esachoruv hamurka v'esad nashim. The only thing that is included besides the sada is the chorva murkiv and the sada shikma. The bar and the gas and the shoivach are not included. Why are they not included? Explains Rishbam, because he does not hold that makdish be'ayin yofa makdish just like a noisein. Whatever he was makdish, he was makdish. Whatever he was not makdish, he was not makdish. A major institution is having a fundraising campaign, and they've called, be generous, okay, my generosity extends that far. I gave you the sada, but I didn't give you the bar and the gas hashem. I didn't give you more than that. So why is the sada hashikma and the charva murkiv different? Why don't you say there too? That's not included. So Rishbam says, the tam mafarish b'gemara. But I will already let you know the reason. Because I know all of you are perplexed. Those are separate entities. Why should those... The bar and the gas and shaybach are not included. But we say the charva murk and sana shikma are included. Manishtana. See, Mar is going to say a very simple svar. Because if you makdish a field, what does that mean? That means that the ground that you're walking on now becomes real holy ground. Real holy ground, not, you know, other holy ground that people say. It becomes holy ground. If it's holy ground, guess what? The Sadna Shikma and the Chorba Murkiv are now Gidule Karka, they are Gidule Hegdish. They are growing from the Hegdish. And so therefore, just like the Karka's Hegdish, not because when he was Makdish, the Sadan and the Chorv become also Hegdish. They don't. The Bar, Gas, and Shoivach do not become Hegdish. What does become Hegdish? The Chorv and the Sadan, because they get the Yurnika, they're getting now their nourishment, their absorption from the ground, and that's what's going to allow them to continue to exist and to thrive and to blossom. So now all those minerals and nutrients going into the trees are all from Hegdish.
So they're viewed as extensions of the ground?
Extensions of the ground. Very good. Beautiful. We're going to talk more about that in the Yom Kippur. In the meantime, Dr. Yimara, we started off that there's a difference between Mecher and Matar. Maishto Mecher, Maishto Levan. How come by Mecher we said a whole bunch of things are not included? The Bar, the Gas, and the Shaivot. And yet by Matan we say they are included. Pirish Yehuda ben Dekusa lefnei Rebbe. Ze Pirish, the Zeloi Pirish. Now on the surface that means that in this case he was Mefarish, he said expressly, I am including, in the case of the Matana, I'm including the Bar, Gas, and Shaivot. In the case of the Mecher, I did not include them. Frey Timura, the Pashup Shatnar Mishnah, that Moicher and Noisa Matana were exactly on the same playing field, the same level. Only Nafkimina was that we say the Gan Matana, since he's a Noisa Matana, Ba'ayin Yafa Noisa, and there he gives more. Even a Kuntra Mekiva that holds by Moicher, Ba'ayin Yafa Moicher. Nevertheless, Noisa Matana is more. But we didn't say anything in our Mishnah about here he did write it, here he didn't write it. Didn't say anything in the Mishnah like that. It just said, you write out a shtar, these things are not included. So, my Mishnah, what do you mean, Zepirish v'lei pirish? Ella, explains the Gemara, Zehoyuloy lefarish, v'zeloy hoyuloy lefarish. He should have enumerated it, and he should not have enumerated it. Which one he should have, and which one he shouldn't have? So Rishbam has two pshat. Let's see the pshat of Rishbam. Zehoyloy lefarish. Rishbam is a little bit past halfway down the wide lines, towards the beginning of the line. Ariel, you have that?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Zehoyloy lefarish. Noisa matana. Kimin derog elitim ayin yafa. Since he's giving, you know, with a good warm heart and a warm eye. And isa dehay lab ayin yafa yohiv. If he wants to exclude something from his generosity, then hoyloy lefarish. Ulishayir. Bar the gas the shoyvech cholhanach the masnis. If he in fact wanted to circumscribe and limit his generosity only to the field and not to include, then he should have written that befesh, because otherwise you say, Yaakov is so generous, he gives and he gives and he gives and he doesn't know how to stop. So I would assume the bar gaspa shaybich is included. So he didn't want to include it. Then Yehoyu loy lefarish, he should have written befesh as nisht. Umr by the fact that he was not mefarish and was not meshayev, hips and he loses. In other words, those are all included. Ava moicher, why does a moicher sell? Normally a moicher doesn't want to sell real estate. It's not like modern day civilization where people flip and they invest to buy and to sell. We're talking about, for instance, in Eretz Yisrael, where most of the lands that people owned were shtey achuz that went all the way back to Yeshua ben Nun.
Ancestral lands.
That's exactly right. Ava moicher zuz yantzu. The reason why he sold, he think he wanted to sell.
Cash crunch.
Very good. V'loy mocher elam mashapirish. And therefore he only sells, you know, those few items that he had to sell. In other words, he's under
duress.
He's under duress. He's under financial pressure. Whatever he has to sell, he has to sell. Whatever he doesn't have to sell, he doesn't want to sell. And therefore, v'loy mocher elam mashapirish. Only what he wrote, befeirish. V'afilim yesh shiroga limkar b'ayin yofa. Even though, according to Rabbi Kiva, there are those people that sell b'ayin yofa. But just mistam, when a person is selling something as shtar, don't automatically jump to conclusions that he is selling everything. No. A person is not trying to sell as much as possible. He's trying to sell as least as possible to be able to keep whatever ancestral lands and properties for himself. So therefore, bottom line is, the case of matan, when a person is generous, if you want to limit your generosity, hoyeloy lefarish. In the case of the moicher, you don't have to be mefarish. Everybody knows you're only selling the minimum, so if you say sada, that's it, only sada. And therefore, borrowing, gals, and shoybeth, all those things are not included. Rabbi Yochanan says just the opposite, pirish. Ha koina hoyeloy lefarish. In the case of the koina, then, in other words, the keach and the koina, there he should be mefarish. Why? The kimishan oisin domim, enim espayish men a moicher. After all, the moicher puts an ad in the paper, he has a broker, he's selling his property for $1,000, and now the lekiach comes to the table, yes, I'm paying $1,000. Okay, let's write out the document. Now what am I buying? So the lekiach is going to insist, for my $1,000, I want the bor, and I want the gas, and I want the shayfich, and I want the dozen, and I want everything, because after all, I'm putting hard cash on the table. Give me whatever. The fact that he or his lawyer did not insist, throw in the bar and throw in the gas and all those things. Hakol hipsu, because it's the loikeach hoyeloy lefarish. He had the financial wherewithal and he had the ability in these negotiations to demand whatever he demanded. Because if the moicher doesn't want to sell, then fine, the sale is off. Makal natana boishes yesh leiman anoisin. He feels embarrassed when I'm going to go. I look like a chazer. Here he's giving me a field, and I should say, oh, by the way, besides the field, you also give me the bar and the gas, the shaybach. What a chutzpah. Young man, you should go and thank him. You should kiss his feet that he's giving you this sada. And now you want this and that and the other. So he has a busha. Then he's a mefarish, and therefore he's not going to be mefarish. V'lishalei bar v'gasvashem. V'chalei denoisin, rami l'gluye. Then the noisin has to express his intentions. V'lishalei pirish konakos. So therefore it's just the opposite as who has to be the mefarish. Is it the noisin matona has to be mefarish, or is it the lekeach that can insist on being mefarish? Because he wants more and more and more. Okay, so that's the difference in the moicher and noisim matar. Now we're up to two lines before the wide lines. Back to the Gemara. Who the amalahu? Person said to his shliach, "Hovele laplanya, I want you to give to Plani. Give Yankel Besa my house, the machzik meya gufi, which can hold in one large room 100 barrels of wine." Wow. That's a large, large room that he's giving him. And he said, hovele. He didn't say sell him. Hovele, give him. Okay, so now they come to review and to inspect the property. Ishtakach, they found they have a machzik meir v'esrim. That in fact, the living room, not only did it hold 100 barrels, but it held 120 barrels. Omer mar zutra, mei omele, mei v'esrim le omele. He only told them, give him a present 100 and not 120. And therefore, divide up the living room, 5/6 you're going to give to the Makabel, and 1/6 the Nosei Matana will retain for himself. Because 20 out of 120 is 1/6. That's what Marzit said. Amalei Ravashi. Amalei. Esomlei Amalei. Rav Ashi Omar, Miloy Tanan, didn't we learn in our Mishnah, Medivar Mamur, Bamoichim, Nisim, Maton, and Nisim is Kulon? Alma Mandiyoy Maton, Be'ayin Yofi Yohid. Ochanami Mandiyoy Matona, Be'ayin Yofi Yohid. No, no, no. Although he said 100, he didn't mean 100, but not 101, and not 102, and not 120. He just is expressing his generosity. I'm not giving you a small studio apartment where you might be able to fit in three barrels. I'm giving you a huge...
Classic sense.
Exactly. A five-bedroom apartment where the living room is 20 by 20.
Ballroom.
Like a ballroom, etc., etc. And that being the case... he meant by Yof, and he was telling me it fits even 100 barrels. In fact, it fits even 120 barrels.
It's a guzma already. It's already a bit of a guzma.
Exactly. So he's telling him it's a large, huge room, but he didn't mean to limit it, and therefore he gets everything. Okay, Amaktish is the Hikdish. If you Maktish is the Yamaktish, said our Mishnah, only besides the field, said Reb Shimon, the Chorva Murkiv and the Sadon Hashikma. Om Ravuna. So that was according to Rav Shimon. According to Tanakama, a makdash is sort of hikdash is cooler, everything. According to Rav Shimon, a makdash is sort of hikdash is cooler, everything. Om Ravuna. We're going a little bit off on a tangent. This Gemara we already had earlier on in Ar Masechta, back on Daf Lamed Vav, and we're going to have it in Meir Shem in the next parak. The reason why we're going off on a tangent is because we're shortly going to come back to Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shimon of Ar Mishnah. Om Ravuna. Avagav di Om Rabban. What is this all about? What happens if a person goes and sells to someone else? Three ilanas. Three ilanas means three trees. Our Gemara doesn't focus on that. The Rishbam brings it from the Gemara later on, Mishnah later on, that when you go and sell three trees to somebody else, you're selling not only the trees, but b'neihen, in between the trees,
v'chutzo
lehen, arum and arum, kimulay ura v'salik. Kimulay ura v'salik means an individual that's going to go around the trees, either to prune the trees or to go and harvest the fruit from the trees. And therefore, three trees is not just trees, but you're selling a whole karka together with it. When it comes to web, it's going to shnei ilan, it's already machloikis between the Bekiva and the Rabbanah. What's the machlekes? Same machlekes that we've been talking about until now. Kiva, moicher ba'ayin yofa moicher. So when I give you the two trees, I'm selling you two trees. I'm selling you the karka underneath the trees as well. Well, according to Rabbanan, no. If you're selling two trees, it's only the two trees, not the karka. What does it mean, not the karka? After all, the trees can't live on their own. They live from the karka. So as the Gemara is going to tell us shortly, we're going to have again the Amud Beis, that it means legabi, the right of replacement. These trees are not going to last forever. Nothing lasts forever. And so therefore, what happens if these trees die in 10 years from now, 20 years, 50 years from now? Does the owner of the tree have a right to replant replacement trees instead? So if you say konakarka, the answer is yes, he can replace them. If you say loy konakarka, he cannot replace them. He only gets the trees for as long as they are alive. But after that, he loses his investment. So Omer Avud, Avgav the Rabbanan, even though the Rabbanan said, HaKoyin Shnei Ilan Ha'Tesh HaChaveri, HaRizeh Loi Kona Karka, if a person buys two trees in somebody else's property, he's not Koyin of the Karka, and therefore, if and when these trees are, as long as the trees are alive, he can't tell them, take your trees away, because he sold them the trees. And therefore, he sells with the trees, the unique of the Karka immediately underneath, to be able to allow these trees to grow. But he's not Koyin of the Karka for the future. In the future, if and when it dies, if you look at the Rishbam, 8 lines to the bottom, Harizeli konekarka beineyem. He's not konekarka. He's konekarka underneath them, but not beineyem, and not chutzle, not a room and a room. V'gamem meso ein lekarka litachirim koyman. Once they die, that's it. Finished. Over. It's over and done. So therefore, koyin shnei lonois according to Rabbanan, loy konekarka. That's of course the Rabbanan that hold
moicher
ba'ayin ro moicher. Mocha karka b'shir shnei ilanas lefanav. What happens if it's the reverse? The person is selling not ilanas, he's selling the karka, and he kept two ilanas for himself, then yesh le karka. Then he retained for himself karka. Now on the surface it sounds like Rav Huna is telling us a groisa chidush. The Gemara is going to ask on the Amud Beis, l'chor it's pshita. Why it's pshita? Because since the Rabbanan hold a person sells But ayin ro'ah means he only sells the minimum, not the maximum. We don't mean that every moiches chas shalom a bandit, a sheikh, it's a no goodnik. We say, no, he doesn't even have to be stingy. He just happens to be a businessman, and therefore whatever he's selling.
He's selling, and that's it.
That's it, exactly. I'm not, you know, if I want it, you want to buy something more, then you pay another couple of dollars. No problem. I'm just selling the minimum, especially like Rishbam said before. Typically, a person who's selling karka is doing it because he's under financial duress, a cash crunch. So whatever he sells. Ah, so therefore, if he sold karka and he kept two ilanas for himself, yesh lekarka, he kept karka with it. In other words, the same rabbanim that say in the first part of Ravuna, that if a person sells two ilanas, say the rabbanim, karka is not included, because moicher be'ayin, ro'a moicher, if he sold karka and he kept two ilanas for himself, then again, moicher ba'ayin ro'o moicher, and he keeps the maximum for himself. So in addition to the ilanos, he kept the karka for himself. So that's the whole halacha of Rav Huna. And again, loit rabbanon l'choy, this is not a spectacular chiddush. The Gemara is going to, in fact, ask on the other base. L'choy, it's pshit. But now the Gemara adds on its own. Rav Huna didn't say this. Now the Gemara adds, according to Rav Huna that says, even according to Rabbi Akiva, so now this is a big chiddush. Since Rabbi Akiva normally says a person is magnanimous in his sales, and therefore he sells the maximum, not the minimum. So if he sold karka and he kept two ilanos, the choira, I should say, according to Rabbi Akiva, you gotta go and buy the karka underneath. Just like you need to get to the ilanos and have to pay a right of way, right? He has to go and pay a derech, like to go to the bar vedus. He's going to have to go and pay to get to the shnei ilanos. In this case, it's the Gemara contra Bekiva. No, he retains karka with ilanos. What's the reason why? He says, well, I'll tell you why. Hani mili, when was Rabbi Kiva such a moich ba'in yofa? Kabi bar vedus, to le kamach shiba ara. When a person sells, for instance, the soda, and he retains the bar and the gas and the shoyvach, or when he sold the house and he retained the bor vedus in the basement, that's because that doesn't interfere with the property. And the moicher, being a nice guy, the idea for moicher, he says, sure, I give the whole property and the bor vedus that I'm going to keep. And I know that that doesn't disturb you, because the bor vedus is on its own. It doesn't, it's not makhish ba'ara, it's self-contained. So there's no problem with it. Av ilona is kamakhshi ba'ara. By definition, if I'm keeping ilanos over there, that's competing for the minerals and the nutrients in your field. So if you're planting, whether it's tomatoes or potatoes, or another tree, or tavua, or whatever, I'm taking some of those nutrients away. And therefore, since a makhish ba'ara, says Iman the Amid Beis, and Isa deloy shayer, if, says the Gemara, according to Rabbi Akiva, if you're saying he's not mishayer anything for himself, he only keeps the minimum because he's moicher b'ayin yofa moicher. He only holds on to the two trees, lay malay, then the lokeach, the kone, who's buying the property, can go and say, akori lonchesh kol vizil, do me a favor, uproot your trees and plant them somewhere else. Once again, Rishbam says here, like he says elsewhere, he doesn't mean currently, he's only talking about if and when the trees should die. No one expects that if you're going to go and retain the right to have trees, that means, it means firewood, or it means that you're going to have a major U-Haul truck and people to go and schlep out the trees. No. When he's keeping trees, it means trees to go and live on this property.
Natural life.
Exactly, but only for their natural life. And therefore, if you would say that Moicher ba'ayin yofa moicher, he retained no karka for himself, that means he had no right to go and replace them after these ilanis die. So when he says, im isad loishai, if he didn't keep any property for himself, le malay, he can go and tell him, if and when the original ilanis die, akar ilan cheshkar vizil, go and take this dead wood and move on. And you're no longer a participant in this property. And says Rishbam, if a person is keeping ilanis for himself, his mindset is, I want to have some permanency in this property. If you look at the top of Rishbam, Vanan Sadi, we are Edom, we, the general world, Why did he keep the trees? He wants to have some permanent mark over here, some permanent ownership. Just like until now, these trees, he had the right that if and when they die, he can go and plant new ones. He wants to retain that right. That's when you are ma'akiv ilanis for yourself. But lekeach ilanis, person who's buying ilanis, ain't loimed the tzerech kol hayom lachai, v'lita achem b'mkaymen. Who says that the purchase of the ilanis was meant to be a permanent aspect, a permanent transaction? David Inish is over out of the yomel peiris kanoi. He bought these peiris. He looks at the tree. He figures, these trees are going to last another 5-10 years. They're producing apples. Fine. For the next 5-10 years, apples, that's worth a lot to me. And he buys it. They're going to die. They're going to die. Okay, we'll move on to another investment after that. Okay, so bottom line, what the Gemara has done is, we're saying that Rav Huna's halacha is not only according to the Rabbanon, but even according to Rabbi Akiva, that holds Moicher, the Ayin of a Moicher,
he changed the land.
If he is being Meshiah Shnei Ilonois, he's being Meshiah land together with it. So Gemara, really? Tonight, let's bring a ride from our mission. Says the Mishnah Shimon, Makdish is a subject. But Yikdish Alachar Bamorkim Sana Shikma. The person is makdish, and he's makdish everything. He's only makdish the sadeh. He's not makdish, not the borer, not the gasa, not the shoivach. But what he is makdish is the charva murkim and sadeh shikma. And we already were scratching our heads when we were learning the Mishnah. Why should the charva murkim and sadeh shikma be any different than the bor and the gas and the shoivach? Bor, gas, the shoivach, you say, he was not makdish. But the charva murkim and sadeh shikma, he was makdish. Why? These are separate entities. They're so choshim, and they really look so distinguished. It's beautiful trees. I'll tell you, Mata. Because they're geduli hegdish. They're yonik, they are receiving their absorption, their nutrients from the sode hegdish. The bor and the gas and shoivach are only located, they're situated in the property. Bor, gas, and shoivach don't get any nutrients from the property. Here, these two trees are getting their nutrients. And therefore, since when he was makdish the field, he was not makdish the sadan, he was not makdish the chorif. But by definition, they have their derivative rights, if you will, from the field, and so therefore those become makdish. Fine. That's what it says in the Mishnah. And in the Brayz V'Tarila. Now the Gemara asks the Kasha. If you're telling me that a person who sells a field, he retains for himself two ilonois, we said that even a kudra bekiva to ilonis means together with the property rights underneath the ilonis. Like the top line, im isa de leishaya, that he left for himself mineral rights and property rights.
Successive rights,
but it's not only successive rights. We're also talking about the nutrients under the property
right.
To feed these trees is kikiyanki medenavshi koyanki. So then, when they are being yoinik, they're not being yoinik from a stay hegdish. It's as if in the middle of this big stay hegdish that he was makdish
is a fence blocking off these trees, and they're nurtured only from private property, not from hegdish property.
It's as if they are exempt zones within this larger property.
Right.
And what's growing for these exempt zones? The two trees that he left for himself, or the case of the sadan and the case of the charev. Those are the ones that are being zoiche yoinik from themselves, not being yoinik from the wider property. And so therefore, says the Gemara, is the Chayra Asimin, that when you are retaining property rights like in trees, you only retain the trees and not the karka underneath the trees. And therefore, Frank the Gemara, if that's the case, how are you telling me that Rav Huna's halacha even applies to a case of Moicher Ba'ayin, or Noisim Ba'ayin Yofa, Noisim, that he, or Moicher Ba'ayin Yofa, Moicher, that it's all Ba'ayin Yofa. And therefore, if a person goes and
retains two trees in a sada that he sells, he still retains the land.
Even though you hold on to the two trees, why? He holds on to the land. Because if you'll be Mashiach, the other guy's going to say, get your trees out of here. Yeah. So therefore, by definition, he's getting not only the trees, but also karka rights underneath. So why does Reb Shimon say in our Mishnah that if you are makdish the sada, then the Chorev and the Sadna are also Muktish.
They should also be in an exclusion zone. Beneath them should be property, should be land that remains chulin.
Exactly. So the Chorev, this Reb Shimon doesn't stim with what we said in Rav Huna, that Rav Huna is extended not only to Rabbanan, but also to Rav Akiva. After the Gemara, you're right. I made a boo-boo on the Amud Aleph. I thought that Rav Huna's halacha even applies to Rav Akiva. It's not, that's not the case. It's Rav Shimon, the Amud Rav Akiva, and Rishbam says, because Rav Shimon was a
student of Rabbi Akiva,
a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, so he's just following the path of his Rebbe, yeah. And therefore both of them hold that Moicher Ba'ayin Yofa,
Makdish Ba'ayin Yofa,
Makdish, and therefore he gives everything away, even the karka underneath. And when you sell two ilanis, you do not retain property rights under the ilan, according to Rabbi Akiva. Why? Because he gave everything away. On that being the case, then the field underneath the Sadna Shikma and underneath the Chorva Murkav in fact become Hagdish. Since they become Hagdish, that's why the Chorva Murkav, the Sadna Shikma also become Hagdish. Not because it was Makdish them, but because they get the nutrients, the Yanika, from the ground. So in Bazoi, why did Rav Huna then say otherwise? Because Rav Huna is not talking only about Rav Akiva, he's only talking according to Rabbanan. And he's saying that the same Rabbanan that holds the Ayin Ro'a Moicher when he's selling Ilonois, he's Ba'ayin Ro'a Moicher when he's selling Karka and retaining Ilonois. Since he's retaining as much as possible,
he's buying Ro'a Moicher. The land beneath these trees, and therefore they don't. But why does Rav Shimon only say it in regard to Hegdish? Rav Shimon's quiet. Mocher, no saying Matana. Suddenly Hegdish, Rav Shimon speaks up. If Rav Shimon really feels that way, why is he only speaking up regarding
Hegdish? Good question. Well, we'd have to think and maybe the Gemara is going to talk about it further tomorrow. We're not finished with the sugi yet. But the point is that according to Rav Shimon, a Makdish has the same status like a Moicher, Alibe de Rabbanon.
Alibe de Rabbi Akiva. Rav Shimon is saying like...
I'm sorry.
Rav Shimon is saying...
Rav Shimon is saying Alibe de Rabbi Akiva, that a Moicher ba'ayin yofa Moicher, Makdish ba'ayin yofa Makdish, and since they both are now on the same page, now when you're Makdish the field, you did not retain any land underneath the Ilan.
And therefore, the trees themselves become Hegdish by derivative of Yanuke Hegdish.
Beautiful. Exactly right. So where did Rav Huna say his halacha? That when a person retains trees for himself, he retains karka as well. That's Libid Rabbanan. For Eitimora, if Rav Huna is only saying Kerabanan, Kerabanan Pshita, Sechadava Pashit. Since Rabbanan always say, I'm only selling the minimum and not a drop more, just like when he says that if you went and sold trees, you only sold them trees without any karka. When you're selling karka, and you retain trees for yourself.
He's retaining the karka.
He's retaining
as well.
The karka because he's minimizing the sale, and he's maximizing his retention. Own rights, his retention rights. So to our pshita, after nafkemina di nafli hoder shasalahu. What does the Gemara mean to say? So Rishbam explains, even though what we've been saying this all along as a dover pashit, the Gemara is now saying it's not so simple. What do we mean? That when Rav Huna says that according to Rabbanan, that you retain Shayashne Ilonis, Lefana, Yeshle Karka, I might have thought means Karka only for the life expectancy for these two trees. As long as these trees are alive, yes, you can keep the trees.
It's a lease, it's not an ownership. You're leasing the land until for the life of the trees. When the trees die, your lease terminates.
Very good. As soon as those trees die, then the lease terminates. So I might have thought, says Rav Huna, the Chiddush, no, Yesh LeKarka means permanently Yesh LeKarka. That if when these trees die, you can go and replant them. That's enough. So in other words, Rav Huna's halacha is Yashtikul Chiddush.
It's expanding, it's expanding over the tree, the ownership of the land post the life of the tree.
So Kedai Techamen, yes, I agree. Right. According to Rabbanan, Moicher Ba'ayin Ro'a, Moicher and Makdish and all the rest, he limits what he's doing, and so therefore he's only giving away the other karka, but the Shnei Ilonis he's retaining karka for himself.
Right.
But that karka he's retaining is only temporary retention of karka as long as these trees grow for the next 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. But once the trees grow, you're out of here. Kamash Mullah, no, the Kiddush is the Nafli, or the Shasalahu, that you can go and replant it. because you've retained the rights permanently and not just temporarily.
The Shimon should have spoken up earlier.